Gbogbo ẹyin jọ tán, jagun ànàná o. Gbogbo ẹ̀wù ló pọ̀, gbogbo bàtà ló fàyà. Bàtà ya tán, gbogbo ẹ̀wù ló pọ̀. Ìyá mi á bèrè ìgbé òun ní mọ́límọ́. Màmá mi á bèrè owó.
Right now, we're listening to Zombie.
This is Fela Kuti from 1977, so we've jumped ahead quite a bit. By this time, Fela was not only Nigeria's most popular musician, pop musician, but also somewhat of a national icon, and really kind of a superstar. But a perennial thorn in the side of the government, which at this time was a military government, and a fairly confrontational character in his politics and music as well as in his personal life. He was sort of larger than life and didn't mind offending the powers that were.
I've definitely gotten the impression that he's entirely revolutionary and he's willing to act on his impulse, and he's not really a theoretical person, he's more of a man of action. But I don't know what his actual political ideas were. Can you clarify that at all?
Well, to do that, I think, requires telling a little bit about how he emerged on the scene by 1977, because at the time of the tune we just played by Orlando Julius, Fela wasn't even known about. He was still, I think, in music school in London. But he came back in the late 60s and formed a band that was playing what he called high life jazz and that was getting nowhere. But he managed with his band to go to Los Angeles in 1969. And there he fell in with a woman named Sandra Isidore, who gave him the autobiography of Malcolm X to read and who took him to Black Panther meetings and who he entirely credits with opening his eyes politically. Fela had been from a very elite, well-educated family, and his mother was a fiery nationalist who had led a women's movement in 1948 that had deposed the king of Abeokuta, the town where they were from.
Wow.
But he hadn't really discovered radical politics in the ways we think of, in the ways we associate with the 1960s until this trip to Los Angeles. And when he came back to Nigeria, he started playing more funk-infused music and he called it Afrobeat.
Yeah.
And he began slowly at first, but certainly by the early 70s, to espouse a political philosophy that was anti-colonialist and that was sort of broadly speaking very populist.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the colonial period was over in Nigeria by the 1970s, but he felt that there were lots of vestiges of what he sang about in a song called Colonial Mentality. And not only culturally speaking, but also in the political realm, and he thought that the leaders of Nigeria were not doing a very good job of bringing the benefits of independence and the newly pouring in oil wealth to the people of the country.
Which is remains a persisting problem, not only in Nigeria, but in a number of places.
Exactly. Yeah. And so he sang songs that criticized corruption, that criticized both mainstream Christian churches and Islam for being too complacent in the face of bad government. And he criticized big businesses for colluding with international businesses to suck wealth out of the country. And all of this emerged over time. By the mid to late 70s, though, what his most pointed criticisms were against the military government. Nigeria had had a civilian presidency at independence in 1960, but after the first coup of 1966, there were a succession of military governments, and there wasn't civilian rule again until 1979, and then only for 4 years. So at the time that this song came out, Zombie, the government was under the control of a general, Olusegun Obasanjo, who recently retired as Nigeria's civilian president. So we've seen him again in the 21st century.
Wow, I can hardly fathom that. I have to ask quickly, is his political stance and role different than what it was as a military dictator?
Sure, he came back as a moderate. And to give him some credit, he was fairly moderate as a military leader compared to other military leaders of the time in Africa. But he was elected in his last two terms.
Okay.
So the song Zombie, which has now finally gone into the lyrics, was criticizing soldiers, calling them zombies, that they would do anything. The zombie goes where you tell them to go, or a zombie says what you tell them to say, and so on.
So, and this song was sort of a reaction to a particular... No?
So this was a very dangerous song to be singing under military government, because it's making fun of the military government and furthermore making fun of the individual soldiers who were roaming the city with guns. You don't want to make these people mad necessarily. And yet it became wildly popular. Fela at this time had his own jazz club called The Shrine and had his own enormous compound, which he called the Calicutta Republic, named after a prison cell he had been in. And Calicutta supposedly means rascal in Swahili. And it was full of people associated with the band, dancers, various hangers-on, young people who ran away from home and went to live with him. There was a lot of pot smoking, a lot of sex, a lot of scantily clad people walking around. It was an affront, you know, to the conservative elites of Nigeria. There were about 60 people living there. And here they are singing songs, making fun of the military, and in addition to everything else. So it was just a very bold move to sing this kind of song. And there were others of the same year, one called No Agreement. And it was basically thumbing his nose at the military government.
Yeah. And I have to picture the military leaders sitting around listening to this. I mean, they probably felt the groove a little bit, and I just like the image of them sitting around in military garb listening to the songs about them that were ragingly funky and had the entire nation dancing in nightclubs.
Oh, absolutely. Maybe you should listen to the words a little bit, and then I can continue with what happened to Fela as a result of having
produced
the song.
Let's do it. All right, we'll be back.
Order! Oh, attention! Zombie. Quick march, slow march, left turn, right turn, back turn, double zombie. Salute, open your hand, stand at ease, fall in, zombie. Fall out, fall down, leg ready, attention! Zombie. Quick march, slow march, left turn, right turn, back turn, double zombie. Salute, open your hand, zombie. Stand at ease, fall in, zombie. Fall out. Get ready, hot! Order!
One more time, everybody.
Attention, quick march, slow march, left turn, right turn, about zombie. Get ready. Hot.
We just finished listening to one of Fela's better known songs, Zombie, off the album of the same title, which was about the soldiers of Nigeria and their complacence and sort of robotic obedience to the government of the time. And that was pretty infuriating for the military government, as you were just telling us about. And right now we're listening to Sorrow, Tears, and Blood, which came shortly after
1978,
and a very important and striking incident brought about the creation of this album, Sorrow, Tears, and Blood. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, with Zombie and another song called No Agreement, as well as with Fela's anti-government actions, he was getting the military government of Olusegun Obasanjo very irritated. He, in 1977, Nigeria hosted something called FESTAC, a World Conference on African Culture, and it was supposed to show off Nigeria, and Fela very publicly boycotted it. And this was at the same time as Zombie came out. Mm-hmm. So after, in the face of all of this provocation, in 1977, in February, the Calicutta Republic, this compound that Fela had set up, which he had not incidentally declared independent of the laws of the Republic of Nigeria, it was raided by 1,000 soldiers and burned down.
Wow, 1,000 soldiers to
versus 60 inhabitants.
60 people.
They were brutally beaten. The women were raped. They were hauled off and thrown into jail. Fela's mother was there at the time. She was 78 years old. She was thrown out of a second-story window, and the injuries that she sustained led to her death a couple of months later. Fela's brother, Beko, who became the Minister of Health years later in Nigeria, a very prominent doctor. Sorry. Yes, who became the Minister of Health. He's got one brother who's a Minister of Health and one who's a lawyer. Anyway, he was so severely beaten that he spent several months in a wheelchair. The Calicutta Republic, including its recording studio, musical instruments, master tapes, a free health clinic that his brother had set up, the whole thing was completely gutted.
Wow, so there was probably quite an archive of music that was lost there that was never really to be regained.
Right, and Fela had been making a film, too, called Black President. That footage was all gone.
Oh, that's a shame.
So what he's saying, he's narrating the events of this attack in the song we're listening to now, Sorrow, Tears, and Blood. It'll repeat what he just said, but let me just be quiet so you can hear it.
Police don't go away, army don't disappear. Them leave sorrow, tears, and blood.
Them regular trademark.
Them leave sorrow, tears, and blood.
Them regular trademark.
Them regular trademark.
Them regular trademark.
Sorrow, tears, and blood is their regular trademark. The government's regular trademark. Everybody runs, everybody scatters. Some people nearly died. Some people did die. Some people lost some bread, some money.
Wow. I'm amazed that that he was having, he had such a fierce and public reaction to this, really, really relentlessly against this government, which had just taken away everything that he had set up. It seems like that an album like this so soon after would have a similar repercussion. Was that the case?
Well, this was recorded in Ghana, I believe.
Okay.
But shortly thereafter, too, after his mother died, they led a procession through the streets of Lagos bearing a coffin. I don't think she was in it. But to lay blame for her death at the doorsteps of Government House. And then they wrote, he produced a record based on that event called Coffin for a Head of State. So, yeah, at this point, things are, the production is just pouring out.
Yeah. Well, let's take a closer listen, and I hope you all are enjoying listening to the Global Music Show, talking about Afrobeat and modern Nigeria. Thank you for listening to WXYC.
I'm a different house, my party for house. I won't build a house, I don't build a house. I know I won't quench, I won't enjoy, I know I won't go. So policeman, go slap your face, you know, go talk. Army man, go weep your yash, go, they look like donkey. Rhodesia, they do them own, all it does they have for nothing. South Africa, they do them home. Them leave sorrow, tears, and blood.
Them regular trademark.
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 Regular trademark.
Them regular trademark.
That is why. Everybody run, run, run. Everybody scatter, scatter. Some people lost some bread. Someone nearly died. Police they come, army they come. Confusion everywhere. Ah, now so. Time when they go. Time no wait for nobody. Like that. Ah. But police go to come, army go to come, with confusion, in style, like this. Mm. Mm. Mm.
lost some bread.
Yeah.
Someone nearly died.
Yeah.
Someone just died.
Yeah.
Police they come, army they come.
Yeah.
Confusion everywhere.
Yeah.
7 minutes later,
yeah.
All don't cool down, brother.
Yeah.
Police don't go away.
Yeah.
Army don't disappear.
Yeah.
Them lips all oh, tears and blood.
Them regular trademark.
Them regular trademark.
Them regular trademark.
Them lips all oh, tears and blood.
Them regular trademark.
That is why. Everybody run, run, run.
Yeah.
Everybody scatter, scatter.
Yeah.
Some people lost some bread.
Yeah.
Someone nearly died.
Yeah.
Here with Lisa Lindsay, who's an associate professor of history at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and we're talking about Afrobeat in modern Nigeria today. And we just finished listening to Sorrow, Tears, and Blood, which was a response to the Nigerian military government's attack on Fela's compound. And as a movement of solidarity, Fela regrouped with his comrades. And tell us a little bit about that.
The next year after the attack, in a mass and publicized marriage, Fela married 27 of his so-called queens in Lagos. These were women who sang and danced with the band for the most part, but also hangers-on. And he said that he was doing this to provide them with the social status of wives rather than as girlfriends, and that this was part of his payback to them after they had been through this brutal attack on his behalf, really, in the compound. But this is part of, you know, Fela's emerging reputation as kind of a crazy man.
Yeah.
There was polygamy in Nigeria, but to marry 27 women at once was quite audacious. Fela's relationship with women, in individual women, and also women as a category, is contradictory, or was contradictory, and has puzzled a lot of people. We're listening to a tune from 1972 called Lady, which was one of his most popular songs, and it's catchy, you can hear it. But it lampoons African women for trying to be ladies and for trying essentially to get men to treat them well. And
which supposedly was ridiculous, and
he said this is part of a colonial mentality. They're trying to be Western ladies, and African women are not like that, and you don't need to open the door for an African woman, for example, and by implication you don't need to treat her with any particular kind of respect. So the lyric begins, if you call an African woman, she won't agree. She's going to say, I'm a lady. And then he goes on to make fun of that as pretentious. And in a way, it's an anti-colonial song, or a song about cultural imperialism. But in a way, it's a very misogynistic song, because it's tarring with the brush of neocolonialism any woman who asks anything of any man.
Certainly, and it's troublesome also, because on the one hand he has a small hint of legitimacy there, but he's also been entirely influenced by Western funk and American and European culture.
Sure, and yeah. He was the first to say that his musical and political awakening came through the influence of a woman in Los Angeles, Sandra Isidore, and he absolutely adored his mother and revered her. As I said, she was an important anti-colonial activist in her own right, and she was with him during the attack on Calicuta. When I had the opportunity to spend a little bit of time with Fela, both in his nightclub called The Shrine and in his compound, which at that time was a two-story house, in the mid-1990s, both the nightclub and parts of the house were dominated by enormous portraits of his mother.
Wow.
Which were something like shrines unto themselves. In fact, during the performance at the nightclub, there was a point in the middle where he and one assistant ran off stage and poured libations and did some prayers at the portrait of his mother. And then back at his house later, not only were there more sacrifices and prayers on behalf of his mother, but he actually had a woman spirit medium, through whom he talked to his mother. And so she was still very much a presence in his life.
Wow, and that was on stage as well?
The spirit medium?
You're right.
No, but the pouring libations under her portrait happened in public at the nightclub.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, much of his public pronouncements, as well as musical ones like In Lady and another song called Mattress, which is what he thought of women, he claimed in 1975.
Oh my goodness.
But through those things, you get the idea of a very patriarchal, male chauvinist. But on the other hand, in his deference to his mother, in the respect he gave to this woman, Sandra Isidore, and also to many of his wives, he looked very differently. Fela was an enigma in lots of ways, and we could talk about his political views as well, or his views on African so-called tradition. But the gender politics of his output, I think, are particularly rich with contradictions.
Well, I suppose, yeah, I mean, we could try and unravel this, although I don't think that it's necessarily there to be unraveled. It's just contradictory sentiments that came out through the context of his life, and I don't know. Do you think it's there to be the ultimate truth of, his his life and his theories is there to be had?
No.
No.
But one more piece of this that I saw myself is that, I mean, obviously I'm female and I was a sax player, am a sax player, although I'm not quitting my day job.
Yeah.
And I knew somebody in his band and had the opportunity to sit in with his band at his nightclub. And I thought, this is not going anywhere because women in his band sing and dance. They don't play instruments. And I should say he was utterly gracious and really professional about it. And I never once felt like he was treating me as anything other than a musician. And even after we went back to his house afterwards, a succession of singers and dancers from the band went into his bedroom one by one. In fact, one of them came out and said to the next, it's your turn. And I saw all of this.
Wow.
But at the same time, my conversations with him were entirely genderless. Or sexless, I should say.
Yeah, well, how can we sum it up? I guess we can't really do it all in an hour. But in any case, he was a musical genius, and that's why we're listening to his music right now. So let's get back to that, and we'll play a little bit more music. So thank you all for listening to the Global Music Show on WXYC, and also thanks to the African Studies Center. This is 89.3 Chapel Hill.
I never tell you finish. She go on take cigar before anybody. She go on make you open door for him. She go on make him man wash plate for him for kitchen. She want salute man, she go sit down for sure. She want salute man, she go sit down for sure. She won't sit down for table before anybody. She won't sit down for table before anybody. She won't take piece of meat before anybody. She won't take piece of meat before anybody. Call 'em for dance, she go dance, lady dance. Call 'em for dance, she go dance, lady dance. African woman go dance, she go dance the fire dance. African woman go dance, she go dance the fire dance. She know him man a master, she go cook for him, she go do anything he say. But lady no be so, but lady no be so, but lady no be so, but lady no be so. Lady no master, lady no master, lady no master. Call 'em for dance, she go dance, lady dance. Call 'em for dance, she go dance, lady dance. African woman go dance, she go dance the fire dance. African woman go dance, she go dance the fire dance. She know him man a master, she go cook for him, she go do anything he say. But lady no be so, but lady no be so, but lady no be so, but lady no be so. Lady no master, lady no master, lady no master, lady no master. If you call a woman, African woman, no go Greek. She go say,
she go say, I be lady yo.
She go say, I be lady.
She go say, I be lady yo.
She go say, I no be woman. woman.
She go say happy lady.
She go say market woman, na woman.
She go say happy lady.
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 So do you have any closing remarks?
Well, we should end the narrative of Fela's life with his death in August of 1997 of AIDS. And he had maintained, even as he was getting sick, that AIDS was a white man's disease, that he didn't have it. But his brother, Beko, who had been the Minister of Health, publicly announced that he died of AIDS as a way of trying to raise awareness of the disease and reduce the stigma. His funeral in Lagos was attended by millions of people. Traffic was utterly blocked. It was the largest funeral extravaganza there has ever been in that country.
Wow.
Lagos probably has something like 20 million people, and it's estimated that it's estimated by people in Lagos that everybody went to the funeral. And we don't have time to talk about it, but listeners who are interested in Afrobeat might check out some of the Afrobeat bands that have continued since Fela, including those led by his sons Femi Kuti and Shion Kuti, his successor Dede Mabiaku, and probably the most interesting Afrobeat musician in Lagos right now, a guy who goes by the one word name Lagbaja.
Lagbaja. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you, listeners out there, for tuning in to the Global Music Show on Afrobeat in Modern Nigeria. The time is now 6 o'clock, and you are listening to WXYC 89.3 Chapel Hill. And stay tuned, because there's some great music coming up. Case in point, this right here from the Disco Hustle. Thanks for listening.